And now, it's back to Azania Mosaka on 702.
In the segment of the show, I want to take your opinions on what sort of censure you believe is adequate for teachers who violate the corporal punishment laws. What sort of censure is appropriate? There are two cases that we will be touching on in a moment, speaking to DeMichelle Petherbridge, who is an attorney at Section 27. So Section 27 is representing two families. They're taking this issue, these two issues to the High Court because they believe that the South African Council of Education in their disciplinary process did not adequately punish teachers who were involved in corporal punishment. So DeMichelle joins us now and will outline the details of those cases. And just to let you know, we did reach out to SACE, the South African Council of Educators. We invited them to be a part of this conversation. And the response that we got from the spokesperson, Thebinkosi Ndlovu, read, it said, "Thanks for the invitation. The matter is before the High Court and is therefore sub judice. So council will only comment after the court proceedings." But let's unpack this because it'll certainly make for interesting public discourse as we move forward. DeMichelle, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Are you well?
Yes, I'm well, thanks. And thanks so much for having me on the show.
So for those listeners who are not familiar with these cases, let's outline the details first and foremost, because they pertain to the challenge that you're taking to the court. In 2019, Section 27 received two complaints around corporal punishment. What happened in the first case that involved the grade 2 learner?
So the grade 2 learner was only 7 years old, and this was an incident that happened in class in 2015 in a school in Gauteng, where a teacher had hit him over the back of the head with a PVC pipe for merely just making a noise. So we know that the parent had in fact gone to the principal, that there was an internal hearing with this, but hadn't received any further feedback from the school, and that's when the mom had decided to come to Section 27, you know, to lodge a formal complaint with SACE.
Mm-hmm. And then with the grade 5 learner?
So this happened in 2019, and this learner was 10 years old, and she was slapped in the face first, and then secondly on the head, to the extent that her left ear began to bleed, all because she didn't have a workbook in front of her. Again, the mother had reported the teacher to the principal. It had gone so far as meetings, I think, with the circuit manager. But my sense of this is that she had frustrations with that process and had also come to us in 2019 to lodge a complaint on her behalf with the council.
So before we look at the sanctions and the outcomes of that discipline, of those disciplinary processes, what were the impacts, the lasting impacts on these two learners and their families?
Yeah, the impacts are actually quite frightening. You know, we got a sense from the parents that for the families, these were very traumatic. For the child who was slapped across the face and you know, to the extent that the ear's bleed, she has been back and forth in hospitals. It's been medical bills. We know that her academic performance has suffered. You know, so there's trauma on the learner who's struggling with fears of going back to school. There's trauma on the family. And, you know, for the second learner who was hit with the PVC pipe, not long after that, he had been experiencing certain symptoms and was hospitalized for a brain infection with doctors advising that there was a presence of bacterial meningitis. And he had suffered through quite a lot of trauma through that. And, you know, we don't have the evidence to link the two. So it's important for me to state that, you know, there's no evidence to prove that the PVC pipe hitting had led to this. But we know that the child has suffered also from fear and anxieties, and that this has been very traumatic on the family.
Yes, and the grade 5 learner repeated that year, right? That as a consequence, they couldn't quite smoothly complete their grade 5, and they had to do that year again. The South African Council of Educators conducted disciplinary hearings on the two teachers. The teachers pleaded guilty to their misconduct of beating the students. And despite their admissions of guilt and the extent of harm that you've just described, I mean, those two acts are absolutely violent. And these are such young children who were on the receiving end of this violence. So despite the admission of guilt and the harm inflicted on the two learners, you say that the sanctions imposed by SACE are just not substantial and inadequate. So let's outline what it is that the disciplinary committee decided on.
Yes. So what the committee had landed on was an identical sanction for both teachers, and there were two sanctions. The first was that they would be removed from the council's role of educators, which practically means that they're not allowed to teach. But they suspended this for a period of 10 years on condition that these teachers were not found guilty of further misconduct in this period of 10 years. The second sanction was a fine of 15,000 rand, and they suspended 5,000 rand. So this came down to an amount of 10,000 rand payable over 12 months, which comes down to a mere 833 rand per month, for 12 months. And we find this really inappropriate and not at all adequate as a response to the crime of punishment, especially for young learners. For the crime of corporal punishment on young learners.
And that's why you are now taking it to the courts. How did the families react to this? Because the teachers can continue to teach as long as you say that sanction is suspended for the duration of 10 years, as long as they don't get involved in a similar matter. So they're able to continue teaching. They're back in the classroom. What was the response of the families?
Yeah, I think, from what we've been told, the families are disappointed that there was a sense that there should be, much stricter measures for something like this. Mm. Especially because, as you say, the extent of the trauma, the things the families have been through, I think there's disappointment all around.
And hence the decision to come to Section 27. So what are you asking the Gauteng High Court to do?
Please. So during this whole process with the council, after lodging our formal complaint and after hearing these sanctions, we had repeatedly requested for documents that could show us, what the reasons were for giving such lenient sanctions. I mean, we just wanted those notes. We wanted the minutes of the meeting, of the hearings, everything related to that decision-making process. And unfortunately, SAFE did not respond to us substantively with it. So our first question is that SAFE provide to the court all the documents related to the decision-making process, as well as the reasons for such lenient sanctions. Mm. And they are expected to give that to the court on the 21st of January, which is next week, Thursday. We're also aiming to challenge these sanctions. We're asking the court to review them, to set them aside, and to give them back to SACE for reconsideration. So the ball will be back in SACE's court.
So their disciplinary procedures say that the procedures are intended to be corrective and not punitive. And they go on to say where this is possible and desirable, taking into account the interests of the teaching profession as a whole. This comes from their documents. So what do you believe should have been the adequate form of punishment? As they say, that these processes, their disciplinary procedures are more corrective, are about corrective outcomes than punitive ones.
Mm. Yeah, SAFE has at its disposal certain kind of sanctions, which include a reprimand or just a caution of imposing the fine, of suspending the teaching. And I think we just wanted to see more. We just wanted this to reflect the seriousness of this matter. I think we're trying to take a systemic approach that they rethink the way that they're responding to these, to these kind of cases. So for us, it's just that we want to see more stringent measures in place, as a response to this.
For there to be accountability, not just to be put through a disciplinary process, but to be some kind of accountability for those actions.
Sorry, I want to add that I think what we want is for SAFE to take a deep dive consideration of this as well, to look at the severity, to look at the nature, to look at the potential of this happening again, to really see that this was a considered approach in responding to this as well. I think we'd like to see that come out of this.
Yes. And I wonder what other parents think, if you are listening to this conversation with De Michelle Petherbridge, who is an attorney at Section 27. What do you think is the appropriate censure for teachers who continue to violate the corporal punishment law? Because the reality is that back in 1996, the South African School Act banned the use of corporal punishment in schools. This was also confirmed later on in the year 2000 in the Christian Education case. But despite despite the ban on corporal punishment, teachers, we still see cases where they continue to hit children at school. It is illegal. Mm-hmm. So as a parent, if you're listening, what do you think is the appropriate censure, the appropriate punishment for teachers who do this? We'll take your calls on 011-883-0702. And I think it's important to note that corporal punishment is effectively banned in South Africa, because even in 2019, the Constitutional Court ruled in a common law case around the reasonable and moderate chastisement of children, that that effectively banned corporal punishment of children, whether by parents or by teachers. As far as the kind of cases you come across, because Section 27 is quite involved in the education system of this country, advocating, of course, for the rights of learners and vulnerable communities. What have you observed, especially around corporal punishment and how persistent it continues to be?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of persistence, just to give you an idea, there was a general household survey that came out in 2019 that had indicated that up to 7% of South African learners had experienced violence or corporal punishment in schools, which practically translates into just over 1 million learners. Mm-hmm. By its own account, the South African Council of Educators had brought out a report that covered the period 2018 to 2019, stating that of its 765 complaints, 290 of those, or just over 290 of those, were based on corporal punishment. Mm-hmm. So this is really alive and kicking. And even in our own experiences and NGOs that are working in the sector, we hear countless cases that this is occurring. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very much alive and existing in schools.
And I saw actually when I was just looking at their code of conduct, their procedures and all of that, that when it comes to the appeal against the decisions of the councils, all I could find was around how educators who have been found guilty, how they can go about an appeals process. But I couldn't really find any kind of process for parents or learners who want to appeal the findings of a judgment from the disciplinary committee. So perhaps that's an area that could also be improved on.
Yes, definitely. And also to note that going to the South African Council of Educators is not the only avenue.
Yeah.
If there are frustrations in this, parents are allowed to lodge complaints with the police, and they can lay a charge of assault. And they can also lodge a complaint with their principal. And if you get cases where it's the principal who's inflicting the corporal punishment, you can go straight to your nearest education district, who should be reporting this to the Department of Education, because they are the employer of these teachers, and they will follow their own internal processes as well.
Right, DeMichelle, please do stay with us as we continue now to hear from our listeners on this case, because as she says, this corporal punishment continues to happen in our schools. What's the appropriate censure? What do you think? Andrew, good afternoon.
Afternoon, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Your view on this?
You know what? I don't condone corporal punishment. I grew up in schooling where corporal punishment was condoned. And I can remember having my backside licked off quite a few times with a cane.
Yep.
And it wasn't necessary in a lot of cases. But that being said, I've also got a wife who is an educator now. And I have seen her hop from school to school over the past few years. Not because the standards of what the teachers have to deal with from the other teachers and parents being the case, but generally actually because of the verbal abuse that the children give the teachers. I mean, I have seen students standing in front of a teacher telling them how bad they are, calling them everything from a cat to a dog. And then I've had to see the teachers hold themselves in, crying behind closed doors because they've been that badly verbally abused. And when the school addresses the parents, nothing gets done.
Yeah.
The parents just say, well, you've earned it or you deserve it. So as far as corporal punishment goes, I don't condone what those teachers have done to those kids, because taking an act of violence that extreme is a bit extreme. But if a teacher were to be verbally abused to that extent, what protects the educators' children and the children's parents, who are clearly not, I dare say this, not being parents?
Andrew, I think it's so important what you are saying, because in order for our system to work,
hold on. If I was a teacher and the teacher spoke to me like that, I would slap their teeth out.
No, I hear what you're saying.
Because there's no necessity.
No, I absolutely hear what you're saying. And we need to look at the picture holistically, because you cannot provide protection for one component. Kids are vulnerable. You know, we do have to make sure our society protects children. And that protection not only should come from the laws that we have, but also from those entrusted with raising them. And I hear you about the frustration that teachers have to live with. Thank you for that, for adding that to the discussion. I remember Banyaza Lesufu, the MEC of Education, when this issue of safety in the classroom came up, and you said that teachers have been known to lock themselves into inside their storerooms because of the threat that they face from pupils. And so, as he says, he's not justifying it, but we do have to look at areas of improvement in order to fix what happens in our schools. Let's go next to Mary Ann in Bryanston. Mary Ann?
Hello, hi. I've been listening to the, I've just caught the tail end of the conversation, so I don't know the details about what the teachers did, etc. But I am a teacher by profession myself. I'm a parent. I am a member of a governing body for my children's school, and I've had some experience with SAFE. So I can comment on the SAFE side and also the corporal punishment side. Mm-hmm. I completely disagree with corporal punishment. The teacher is the adult in the room. They are other teachers, there's the Department of Education, there's independent school bodies that are able to provide support should the situation in the classroom start to fail. Now, the systems that are supposed to help that, they don't always work efficiently, so that is one aspect of it. But I can understand that a teacher may at some point crack for whatever reason, emotional, psychological, and a once-off needs to be held, dealt with in one way. But if it's consistent over time, almost premeditated, for lack of a better word, then I feel that the teacher's license, their SAFE registration, should be taken away until
so you're saying,
time that...
Marianne, you're saying if there's a pattern... You're saying if there's a pattern... You're saying if there's a pattern, then take away their teaching license. However, if, for instance, this is a once-off, then we can extend some compassion and some leniency.
Well, the situation needs to be looked at. Like you said, holistically, we've got to take into consideration what is the context of the school, what is the teachers, how are they doing? Stress can affect people in different ways. But if it is persistent and consistent and with thought, that it is an accepted practice in the mind of the teacher, as a professional, as a teacher, I'm absolutely horrified that my colleagues would deem that that is appropriate to do to a child. You are the adult, you are the protector, you are the trusted party. If you are struggling within your classroom, then go to the people who can help you. And I also feel that, say, suspending the sanctions or the what's been handed down after the disciplinary hearing is a very easy cop-out. As a governing body member, we had to institute disciplinary processes against our principal. I'm not going to go into all the details, but they also suspended the sentence. And it was almost like a slap in the face for the school and the children who had to suffer under those conditions. And it was just a very easy way for them to say, we've heard you, we've understood you, but we are going to suspend the sentence for 5 years or 10 years or whatever the story is. And then we actually had to continue and carry on the process with the Department of Education because they are the employer and they can then also institute their own disciplinary proceedings.
Yes. Marianne, thank you for your contributions, but we're out of time. And we're going to follow this one as SACE has been given time to respond. They have to provide documents. It is a matter that's going before the Gauteng High Court. And Michelle Petherbridge, who was outlining the details of these cases, had joined us. She's an attorney at Section 27. But I'll continue to take your reactions.